Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, it's Sunday, October 27th, and today I would like us to reflect on South Africa's broad responsibility of stabilizing food supplies in the Southern Africa region. I want us to look into this topic because I've spent time in the past two or three segments talking about how South Africa should broaden its agricultural and food exports to the BRICS countries and other parts of the world. But we also have a responsibility to ensure that in the Southern Africa region and indeed the broader continent, we play an important role in making sure that there are available supplies of some critical foods. And South Africa has been playing this role for quite some time. And yes, it's not a charity case, it's a commercial activity. Various countries buy products from South Africa because of their quality, as well as their reliability, and making sure that all of these could reach these countries at an efficient price relative to other parts of the world, which is why they continue to buy and import a range of products from South Africa. And you see the importance of the African continent when you're looking at South Africa's overall agriculture and food exports to the world, and then you look at the share of Africa. Take, for example, the figure that I've cited quite regularly in the previous podcast, which is that our exports in 2023, they reached a record $13.2 billion. That's the agriculture and food products exports of South Africa in 2023. There, nearly 40% of those exports were to the African continent. And then other important regions, of course, the Middle East and Asia, the EU, the Americas, and many other countries. But if you were to look at those exports that went to the African continent, 90 cents in every dollar of South Africa's agricultural exports to Africa is from the Southern Africa region. Which means then in much of what we send to the continent is really concentrated within the SADC region. And if you begin to unpack and say, what products does South Africa export a lot to the SADC region? You will see that grains are at the top of the list, fruit, vegetable, and of course a selected range of beverages. You see those coming up at the top of the list of South Africa's agriculture and food exports to the Southern Africa region. And not all countries rely on South Africa equally in terms of food imports in the region. There are some that have quite greater dominance. If I were to rank, for example, the top ones that make up about 80% of our exports to the African continent, it is Botswana, Namibia, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Eswatini, and Zambia. Those countries combined, they make up roughly 80% of South Africa's exports to the Southern Africa region. And that's not the figure of only 2023. Even if you were to look at the average for the past 5 years, you pretty much come across this the same figure. But the other important thing about South Africa, which I think for the farmers, for the government of South Africa, and many others that are in the food industry, we can perhaps maybe give them a pat on the back on this, is that South Africa, even in times where there is a tough drought and the country has quite tight supplies, it doesn't do what we typically see in other parts of the world. Take India, for example, last year, where they stopped the exports of rice temporarily. Zambia, in certain years, they usually block the exports, and many other countries in the world. And in fact, during COVID, there were many more people that actually limited the exports of certain staples to the world market, worried a lot for the domestic market. South Africa maintains a relatively open market policy. Even in this year, for example, the 2023-24 production season. If you were to look at South Africa's staple grain, maize crop, it is down 22% from the previous year, estimated to be at 12.8 million tons. Now, if you consider the consumption of South Africa in maize, it is just around about 11.8, 11.6 million tons. And with a production like this, you would assume that we have tight stocks and there will be a panic to actually limit the export. But South Africa doesn't do that. We keep the borders open. We keep the exports going. And of course, I must say that there is also sufficient supplies that are from the previous season, the carryover stock, which boosted South Africa's supplies so that we could be able to continuously export to the region. But I think from a policy perspective, there is also a sense of responsibility of making sure that we don't limit or intervene in the markets in a way that would disrupt the food markets within the Southern Africa region. And in fact, if you were to look from May this year up to mid-October, South Africa had exported in the stable grain maize just over 1 million tons. And except for Saudi Arabia, all of the exports went to the Southern Africa region. And even the volume that went to Saudi Arabia was actually fairly small. So over 900,000 tons went to the Southern Africa region. And we expect that in the coming weeks and months, there will be more maize exports out of South Africa to the Southern Africa region, because the maize exports for the season are estimated at 1.9 million tons. So you could still see about 900,000 tons or so of the exports to the region. And yes, this is down significantly from last year, which was 3.4 million tons of maize. But much of those exports that year were to the Far East, the likes of Taiwan, Vietnam, Japan. Those are some of the markets that we have in the world, specifically for yellow maize. But this year, they've been fairly absent as we are having a bad crop and they are able to access yellow maize from elsewhere in the world, like South America, the US, and the others. But the point is that South Africa plays an important role in anchoring the supplies in the Southern Africa region. And yes, these countries buy this maize in the open market like any other buyer. But I think that is an important thing to highlight. And what South Africa has done, I mean, since the deregulation of the agricultural markets in 1997-98, that's when the markets were deregulated, 1997-98. We have fairly maintained these open markets. But what we do is to ensure that there is regular, up-to-date, quality information about what's going on in the market. Where are the supplies? What's the export activity looking like? And all of that assists the market players in the food space to be able to factor in all of those risks. And then the prices readjust. And through that process, you're able to see the prices increasing if the supplies are tight, and that reducing a little bit the exports. But it doesn't need any intervention on the government. All we have to do is to ensure that there is quality information, timely, about what's going on, and we allow the market to readjust on that. And this is a policy that we have maintained in the grain industry, but really indeed across all of our agricultural products that we export as South Africa. And I said earlier, the products that we export are mainly grains, fruits, vegetables, and selected beverages. But I mean, I could give you a color of what are some of those, because grains is a grouping of a range of commodities. But if you look into that, you will see that it is maize. We have also, of course, wheat, and we have maize meal, and we have a range of other processed and prepared foods. Apples and pears within the fruit component is a big part of what we export to the region. Sugar in the beverages, it's fruit juices, wine is some of those. We also have soybean oil exports, rice, soup, sunflower oil. Those are some of the products that South Africa also exports to the region, and we don't put any export ban at any time in all of these. And if you look at that basket, when we're thinking about wheat and rice, those are even the products at which South Africa is a net importer of. Because as a country, we bring in 1 million tons of rice each year. And some of this then gets to be packaged in South Africa, added value, and then re-exported to the region. The same is true for wheat. We bring in some of the wheat. Some it gets to be exported to the neighboring region as already milled. And some it gets to be re-exported to the region, utilizing, of course, our ports to making sure that we bring some of these products. So in a way, South Africa, while we argue that we should be expanding the exports to elsewhere in the world, this responsibility of the region or contribution per se in the region is important, and we have to continuously making sure that we remain in good terms with our neighboring countries and we ensure that there are sufficient supplies. Even in years like this where we have drought, we should never be in a position where we are inconveniencing or causing a lot of market disruption in the food space within the region, but rather maintain the policy that has carried us through for quite some time, since 1997. And this is something that South Africa should stay on. And I might say that in conversation with the policymakers in Pretoria, there is a strong commitment to maintaining these open markets. But the other key message that I think perhaps maybe it's important to put forward here is that given the integratedness of all of us in the food markets as in the region, it's quite important that we also avoid any trade friction. I'm raising this point because over the past few months, there's been a lot of coverage about Zambia, about Botswana and Namibia blocking the imports of South African vegetables and fruit, and people saying perhaps maybe we should do something to Botswana, should do something with Namibia. But I'll say no, there is nothing that must be done on that, rather than engaging at a diplomatic level with the policymakers of those countries so that they don't put all of these bans that in a way lead to higher prices for the consumers in those countries, but also inconveniences the production system for farmers in South Africa. But we really need to make sure that we have an open discussion about what is the intention of the countries. Is to increase their domestic production, which parts of the year where there is a window for exports, and then we have a coordinated policy rather than any reactionary way from South Africa's side, which could end up having adverse effects on the consumers in these countries. So there needs to be a coordinated way, and I think in the coming months, because the ban on the exports of citrus as well as of vegetables in Namibia and Botswana is still some of the challenging issues which I think the South African lawmakers need to engage with these countries. But we have to always take a careful, well-considered path given how integrated our food systems are. We cannot arbitrarily cause trade friction, because in the end, the consumers in the region will bear the cost of that, and of course the farmers who are producing some of these products. So I think it's important to maintain these regional a strong trade approach, but rather make sure that there is coordination in our policy when each country has certain aspirations. But we should never encourage anything that lead to trade friction and confrontation, just like what we are seeing now with Botswana and what the politicians there have been saying ahead of their elections. And folks, with that, I think I should end my comments and the segment for this week there. But I think the key takeaway, it's really how important the region is as a market for South Africa, but also how South Africa is important in anchoring the region in terms of the food supplies. And we will continue with this effort while at the same time engaging other parts of the world to ensure that we access those markets, we grow our presence in the BRICS countries, we maintain and grow our presence in the EU, and we grow our presence in the Middle East. Because what's important about South Africa is that we still have a lot more products that will come out of the field. If you look at a range of trees that have been planted by in a range of commodities, there's a lot of harvest that is yet to come. But we also have land that is yet to be tilled, and that will give us an increase in the volume. So we'll have sufficient volume to maintain our presence in the region and broader continent, while at the same time, we do need to expand market access for South Africa in other parts of the world. This also then underscores the point I have been saying, to say all of our assistance and support for broadening agricultural exports to the BRICS countries is by no means at the expense of our presence into the EU, the Americas, other parts of Asia, and into the African continent. We are not replacing one by another, but rather this is an approach to say, how do we add and increase our presence in the food markets across the world? Because we are, as South Africa, already an important player, the only African country in the top 40 global agricultural exporters. And I think to do that and to maintain that presence and to accommodate the products that is yet to come to our field, from our field, we have then to access as many markets as we can. That's the broad and the rough rationale about why we are insisting on opening up other markets. It's by no means a replacement, but rather expansion of what we have so that we have friends and trading partners across the globe. And with that, folks, let me stop there. My name is Wandile Sihlobo. I am an agricultural economist based in Pretoria, South Africa. You can read more about some of the comments in my podcast, in my blog. The link for it is in the description of this podcast. And follow me on socials, Wandile Sihlobo, and follow this podcast on socials, Mkokeli Podcast, and in all other platforms at which you listen to your podcast. And thank you so very much for listening.